You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jordan Bastian, talking about the Tribe as we head into the hot stove season that is always interesting, at least from a rumor and innuendo perspective. We'll see if there's any actual action, but the Indians had some action of their own early in the winter, just announcing the extension of one of their most important pieces, which is Terry Francona, who will be around through at least 2018, if not 2020. 2020, that's crazy to think. JB, that's as impactful as anything these guys are going to do this winter, I'd imagine, for the long term.
Yeah, I think so. And I think what it does, you know, maybe not necessarily this winter when you're talking about big-ticket free agents, because I don't think the Indians are going to be big players in that regard this winter. But if you think down the road, you know, if an opportunity arises again where, you know, if there's a situation a couple winters ago where they got Michael Bourne, they got Nick Swisher, you know, they did spend for some, you know, big-ticket free agent guys. Now you have a manager that's entrenched, who's a very, you know, has a great reputation among players around baseball, you know, for the environment he creates. He's got that the steady success of putting a winning, you know, leading a winning team on the field, I think 10 seasons in a row, the winning record. You know, so I think it provides that stability that is going to let people know that, you know, Cleveland's in a situation now where, you know, it's trying to create sustained success, and that begins from the top down. And, you know, they have their, you know, very highly regarded manager in place for years to come. And I think that says a lot. And I think it will say a lot maybe for some free agents who might otherwise not considered Cleveland.
Well, a lot of stability here. Nick Swisher, Michael Bourne, Jason Kipnis, Yan Gomes, Michael Brantley, all those guys are signed through at least 2017. And then the rotation, this young, controllable rotation, Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, Danny Salazar, TJ House, all those guys are under really team-friendly situations. So now you can argue in the case of Swisher, for instance, you know, maybe that's not a great thing to have that stability, but at least you know he's there. But, you know, this team was middle of the pack offensively in just about every major category. Some of that was obviously impacted by injuries, to Swisher in particular. You know, I know there's among the fan base, there's certainly a ravenous hope that they can add some sort of, you know, middle-of-the-order impact type of bat. I don't think that's especially realistic, both, you know, for what's available in the market and for kind of where they're at roster-wise. But it seems like, if anything, they'll supplant that and support that rotation and a bullpen that's also been very good. It seems like they're leaning more towards that side of things, given that that's where the depth of the market is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, what fans don't want to hear, but what is the reality of the situation, is if you just look at the contracts that are in place, there's just not a lot of wiggle room with that starting the starting lineup. And so if they are going to provide that impact bat or the middle of the order bat, you know, you're going to have to move some pieces first. I mean, you've got maybe a tradable player in Lonnie Chisenhall at third base, and you could say third base would definitely be an area you could upgrade. On the free agent market, it's pretty thin behind Pablo Sandoval. You could also look at right field, where you might have a platoon of Ryan Rayburn and David Murphy, who both are under contract for next year. You know, so you could look at that as an area that's upgradable, and everyone says, well, Nelson Cruz, he's out there, and things like that. But, okay, but you already have guys under contract who are in place. So if they are going to acquire an impact bat, you're going to need some trades to clear up a couple spots on the roster, just because there's so many players who they have committed to through next season. You know, and they are counting on the bounce backs from guys like Swisher, who, you know, Swisher was a pretty steady performer throughout his career until he signed that deal with Cleveland. It seems to be the case sometimes when the Indians hand out those big contracts. They've been burned by some of those. So, you know, I think they're counting on bounce backs from guys like him, and then they're also counting on the continued development and emergence of, you know, a pretty solid core, guys like Brantley and Gomes, and, you know, Kipnis coming off a down year. You hope he can bounce back from his injury-marred season last year as well. And, you know, Carlos Santana, what he was able to do over the last 4 months, you know, and he's under contract again. So there is some hope that more power will come from within. And again, I just think if they're going to add to that lineup, it's probably going to have to be either through trades, or you're going to have to clear up not just salary, but you're just going to have to clear up space on the roster through trades.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Chisenhall as a trade candidate, and that's certainly interesting. I know they got Giovanni Urshel as a kid they like. I remember hearing about him when he was 17 years old and in Arizona Fall League. Johnny Gurrell, the great longtime baseball man in the Indian system, was telling about him way back when, and now here we are all these years later. He had a nice season in AAA, so maybe that's and he really solid glove, so maybe they do take advantage of that weak third base market beyond the Panda and market Chisenhall. Do you think there's any scenario where they would market any of those young starters if they're able to find an affordable innings-eating veteran type and move a Bauer or a Salazar? You think that's even remotely on the table?
I think so. I mean, I think, and I also think they're sort of, we've seen over the last few years, their middle infield and outfield prospects have kind of been stacking up in the, in the upper levels of the minor leagues over the last few years. And, I think you could look at guys like Tyler Naquin in the outfield being floated in trade talks. You know, every team's going to ask on Francisco Lindor. Well, maybe the Indians try, and as much as they're touting Jose Ramirez as their starting shortstop, maybe they can try and sell high on him. He's 21 years old, proved down the stretch that he could be a contributor. Maybe you try and get a team to go after him. You know, maybe with the rotation, Salazar hasn't really lived up to expectations, but we all see the upside. You know, that's a guy that teams could maybe try and ask for in a blockbuster-type scenario, especially if the Indians feel that they can spend a little bit on the free agent market or through trades to get some more veteran experience to put in the middle of that rotation. Because as strong as that rotation was down the stretch, there's still so many questions. Kluber, awesome year. It's the first year he's really had like that. Carlos Carrasco had the awesome final 2 months. Yeah, that's 2 months. You know, Trevor Bauer had his ups and downs. Salazar hasn't really put together. House was solid. But these are all guys that come with unknowns and question marks. And, so I think there's definitely the ability to float some of those guys in trade talks, and also still that need to add to that rotation, because beyond the five, I mean, you're looking at McAllister and Tomlin, and pretty thin after that. So, I think those are definitely some options via the trade market.
Yeah, it was a tremendously exciting second half for that rotation to see that come together. And the what if game, if that team had reached October, if it would have any chance of advancing behind that rotation. But at the same time, like you said, you can't write any of that in cement. You can't take any of that as a given. I would say Kluber, certainly has established himself at this point. It's two really strong seasons now. But other than that, it's a very short sample from those other guys. And you like the overall composition of that rotation. You just don't know, is that going to be a sure thing going forward? So I totally understand their outlook, especially, and the market's fairly deep. And part of that's a function of just where we're at offensively in Major League Baseball right now. But the market is fairly deep of viable starting pitching options. And
there's a good mid-tier selection, whether you're talking about guys like Brandon McCarthy or guys who are similar to that mold. I think those are guys that the Indians can kind of target for the 3, 4, 5 type spots in that rotation. And, it's not that doesn't mean they don't believe TJ House can cut it at the major league level. It's just, you got to kind of hedge your bets here and realize that you're going to go through 8 to 10 starting pitchers in any given season. And right now they're about 6 deep. So I think that's definitely something that they need to consider, strengthening.
Yeah, you gotta hedge your bets, and you gotta get yourself some depth. And speaking of a guy who could be depth one way or another, starting or relieving, our old buddy Justin Masterson. Do you think there's any chance of reunion in the offing there? I know he's certainly a buy low candidate after everything that transpired this past year.
Yeah, I mean it didn't seem like the sides were. You would just hope there wouldn't be any bitterness between the agency and the organization, the way the talks broke apart and things like that. But, I mean, there's such a strong history there. Francona obviously has his great history with Masterson. And, I think if there's a one-year deal to be had there, I don't see why you wouldn't try to at least pursue it, especially with his every other season track record here. It would seem like he'd be primed for a big year. But, I mean, I would not doubt that they would at least approach him and say, hey, we're interested in a one-year deal. Bring you back. We'll see what happens. Maybe throw some incentives in there. Maybe talk about using it as a kind of a platform to what he had hoped to do in free agency this offseason, you know, maybe looking ahead to next year. So, yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, again, there's that reputation and that history, and also, you know, he's had success in Cleveland, and, you know, I think the familiarity is definitely interesting. But I you got to believe that there's going to be other teams, too, that are going to be trying to take advantage of a down year for him and trying to pull him into the fold.
Yeah, a lot of people. I mean, the best, probably the best free agent pitching signing last year was Phil Hughes, who not quite to that level of just a mess of a season the year before, but certainly was a guy who was looking to reestablish his value and did that with the Twins in a tremendous way. So with a 2-year contract, but I think people are going to point to those kind of instances and say, I think there's just a gravitation towards that middle tier in general because Team C. I mean, it's. There's a long list of those long-term upper market contracts just simply don't pan out. So certainly smarter to try to find the value, and that's something these Indians definitely need to do. Any other thoughts here as we enter the offseason? Anything else you think overall, you think it's going to be probably a quiet winter for this club, or might they have some surprises up their sleeve?
You know, I mean, I always go back to when the Indians traded for Ubaldo and got rid of Drew Pomeranz and Alex White. And granted, we were all kind of still learning Chris Antonetti as a general manager at that point because he was still recently into taking over for Shapiro. But those were two pitching prospects that I didn't think the Indians would ever trade. And they did. And so I think you can't count Antonetti out, especially when it comes to trade talks. You look at a couple of years ago, the Shin-Soo Chu deal, 9 players, 3 teams. They ended up getting Trevor Bauer. They got Brian Shaw, who look what he's evolved into in that bullpen, and things like that. Drew Stubbs filled a need for 1 year. He has this history of these trades that really come out of nowhere seemingly and surprise you, and I think I just have learned to no longer be surprised if he has one or two of those up his sleeve. So while he's been pretty clear in kind of shooting down the idea that they're going to go after some big-ticket free agents, so that's probably just not realistic. I think the trade market is definitely going to be something the Indians are looking at, and I wouldn't be surprised if a player is moved or a player is acquired that we just didn't even see happening or we thought this guy was untouchable. You know, even Francisco Lindor, as much as he's being highly touted, you know, we mentioned Jose Ramirez. You know, maybe they can float, try and sell high on Ramirez, or maybe Lindor is not as untouchable as we thought. So I think those are things that I'm trying to think about now in terms of what Antonetti has shown in the past, given his history with some surprising trades at the deadline and also in the offseason.
You're absolutely right. And there's a lot of creativity in the game right now and we see it. I mean, the competitive parity is at a point where no team is completely out of it. I mean, the gap between being an also-ran and suddenly being a frisky contender is probably as small as it's been in a long time. So certainly lends itself to a lot of creativity on that trade front. So we'll see if anything's developed there. We'll see if any trades develop in our Wahoo Fantasy Football League that Jordan and I are involved in. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.